Congressman Paul Tonko is a Democrat from New York's 20th District, friend of mine. That's all I got to say. Chuck Schumer is now the Senate Minority Leader. It's got to be a bitter pill for him because he expected, as many of us did, that he was going to be the Majority Leader. What can we expect in this Republican House, Senate, and presidency that a guy like Schumer can do?
Well, I think the role here, when they're totally in charge, the role of the minority becomes somewhat unique because, you know, there's a tendency, I think, to just move on with a lack of balance. And I think that Senator Schumer, as the leader of the Dems in the Senate now, will be a go-to voice, as will whomever the Dems appoint as Democratic Minority Leader in the House. And those two figures will be the face and the voice of the Democratic Party nationally.
But the House of Representatives is anything but a democracy. You know, it was supposed to be that, but it turns out, you know, the Speaker sits up there and if he doesn't or she doesn't want what they want, you don't get it. It's quite oppressive. Whereas in the Senate, people have voices.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, though, that, you know, their attempts to go by the rule that suggests that only Republican votes will pass measures. In other words, they need the majority. They have well beyond the necessary 218. So
we're not talking about the House of Representatives. Yes.
Yeah. For in the House of Representatives, you know, if they need that, they will need 218. If their theory continues that only those bills that have 218 Republican votes go to the floor, well, they're going to find out, as they have in the past, that it's very difficult to keep government open because they have extremists in their conference who are the tail that wag the dog, and they will refuse to vote on the budget. I'm almost expecting that will happen because it spends too much or it hasn't cut deeply into certain programs. They identify with some that are their pet peeves, and they won't be there. And it will mean that Speaker Ryan will then have to come to the minority leader of the House and ask for votes. Well, I think there's a way, as you know, that's developing. There's a way to create the pressure points.
Leverage.
Yeah. And if you're going to need us for this effort to keep government open, there are other issues that we have that we need done. And I think we can be strong negotiators in that regard. It's amazing how some of these folks still want to keep cutting deeply into programs like food stamps, like Medicaid, like, you know, hunger programs and stuff. And I just came out of some community discussions on hunger because of the awareness during the month of November with Thanksgiving and all, and the food pantries and the soup kitchens. It is really drastic when you think about some of the cuts they want to make to people who have very little voice in the process, and it's immoral.
So do you think, because I've heard it, do you think that there's a possibility that Medicare, one of the most popular programs in the history of this country, will disappear?
Yeah, to answer that, I need to better know where candidate President-elect Trump is. Routinely in our house, there have been efforts, in the aftermath of election night, my immediate fear was that they're going to go to their agenda to privatize Social Security, voucher Medicare, do these other cuts, and repeal the Affordable Care Act. However, there's somewhat of a backpedaling going on with at least President-elect Trump. I don't know if he will have the persuasive powers to move some of the very rigid, recalcitrant, extreme types in the House. If he does, that's a different story. If he doesn't, then I think some efforts will be made to address some of the, you know, this entitlement thing gets a lot of airtime. And, you know, I think we need to understand they're the basic essentials of life.
Well, there are some of these people sitting up there in the Rust Belt who voted for Trump. That's clear. But they're living on Social Security. Mm-hmm. You mess with Social Security or Medicare, their lives are basically disrupted.
And I think
what will happen?
Probably that political calculus is occurring for him.
Yeah.
You know, he said one thing. He was very extreme about things, you know, building a wall, being really tough on immigration, deploying people. Who knows? It's kind of a murky scene right now in terms of the definition of where the leadership is on programs, where the president-elect is.
Paul Tocco, President-elect Trump has talked about rebuilding America, infrastructure repair, but the way I heard it was he was going to try to get it not paid for by the government, but by outside capital.
With tax incentives to contractors.
Right.
And
so nobody will pay taxes in the rich class for a while.
Right. Yeah. And I just don't, you know, I don't see enough. There's a lot of concerns that arise with that approach. I think Hillary Clinton, as a candidate, had a better plan. You know, he would take the dollars that come from, you know, providing for a tax increase on the very upper income strata and utilizing that for infrastructure. But some of this where you may not target the resources where they need to go. And I'll say this, as the subcommittee ranker, that means the top Dem on the subcommittee that reports to Energy and Commerce, on which I serve, one of the assignments there is clean drinking water. And we better include drinking water infrastructure when we do, if we do, an infrastructure bill. The age of our pipes, our drinking water system, are way up there. And it's suggested by the engineering community that some $380 billion is needed in the next 20 years. And we're talking about, you know, a very weak system that will only cost us if we don't address it now. 10 times more to repair the breaks if you had done them before they broke. And that sounds a little, tossed to whim. But basically, there are technologies now that we can retrofit our systems with that will define the weaknesses. And it's a right thing to do. Go to those weaknesses, fix them before they break, and they're 10 times more expensive. Plus, we have 7 billion gallons of water leaking from pipes every day. 7 billion
That's
gallons. And it's not just water. It's tax dollars because it's treated. So, you know, there are telltale signs of how we can save and be smart about this. And I hope we have a full-fledged discussion on infrastructure before we go with some plan that will give tax breaks to contractors and different outside sources over which we may not have the design and control and the kind of overview that's required.
Always wonderful to talk to my friend Paul Tocco, Democrat of New York's 20th District, the hardest working man I know. Paul, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. And, you know, as we wind up this year, let me thank you and the AMC family for just being a good source by which to inform and encourage dialogue. It's so essential for quality government.
On behalf of everybody here, we appreciate that.